Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Changing their life forever so they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, friend. Just in time for December. You know, December 1st is National Day Without Art Day, in which creators nationwide shut their doors, shroud their works, and talk about AIDS. So I guess we should just call it a night, right? Out of respect. Am I not an artist, Chester? Well, fuck it. Come on in, friend. All right, that's better. So tonight we welcome back our pal Luciano Moreno, whom you might remember from his stories The Last Parade Around Here and Feel the Frame. Tonight he brings us two tales of turkeys, truckers, and terror. How's that for alliteration? So smoke 'em if you got 'em and drink those glasses to the bottom, y'all. 'Cause old Drew Blood has a tale to tell. But first, the rigmarole.
Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. You know, Drew Blood's Dark Tales is only one of the many shows on this network you could be listening to. We hope you'll subscribe to our entire lineup, including Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, Scary Stories Told in the Dark, Fear from the Heartland, and Horror Hill. All available on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. Also, visit simplyscarypodcast.com to become a patron. For as little as $5 a month, you get our entire catalog, ad-free, and available to download or stream. A bargain. And now, back to the show.
For our first tale tonight, we join a troop of do-gooders looking to stick their noses into poultry business. So, without further delay, from author Luciano Moreno, I give you... Gobble.
Twilight found us crouched in place, waiting. A fence topped with razor wire towered ahead of us, and beyond that lay a wide field, tall grass swaying gently in the evening breeze. On the far side was a house, dark and empty. There was also a barn, shuttered and locked up tightly for the day, and three long industrial coops, each the size of a double-wide trailer, ominous black rectangles with no windows. The camouflage was excellent. To those who didn't know better, it would look like any other mid-sized poultry farm. Someone even thought to stick a folksy homemade WSU Cougars football sign in the yard, right beside a larger, more professional one that proclaimed, "Shrike Birds, best breasts in the business." Silently we waited. Darkness fell onto the world, sudden and heavy as a brick. There was no moon. At Jack's signal, we moved through the hole Abdul cut in the fence. I paused, watching the action in night vision shades of green and gray on my video camera's LCD screen, trying not to focus too closely on Shayna's fantastic denim-clad backside as she slipped through the gap with enviable ease. Then I fumbled through myself and ran to catch up. This wasn't the most embarrassing thing I'd ever done to impress a girl, not even close, but it was definitely the most illegal. Keeping low in the tall grass, we did our best to hurry across the open ground. If we would be caught, everyone agreed this was the most likely place. Jack was in front, as usual, looking obnoxiously handsome and fit. The guy even took the time to gel and perfectly style his hair for the clandestine occasion. Abdul followed him closely, the only one of us who moved like he knew what he was doing. Shayna, her usually chaotic mane of dark dreadlocks tied together at the neck tonight, was next. And yours truly, camera held in front of my face, already breathing hard and trying desperately not to trip, brought up the rear. Maybe my checkered Vans were an unwise choice, but the only other shoes I owned were flip-flops. We reached the first of several small outbuildings and huddled out of sight, eyeing the guard as he passed on his normal route at precisely the normal time. Although we had observed the man going about his work from afar through binoculars and camera lenses times before, up close he was younger than I thought. It made me a little uneasy, truth be told. But Abdul raised his big mag light without hesitation and brought it down on the guard's head, crumpling the poor guy like a pile of laundry. I couldn't help but wince. The reality of what we were doing hitting home at last. Jack snapped his fingers, hissing, "Camera!" And I swung the lens around to focus on him, dutifully playing my part, while Shayna and Abdul moved the guard behind the building and tied his hands and feet. Jack, oozing community theater charisma, looked into the lens and began his speech.
"It's July 3rd, nearly midnight. We have exactly 29 minutes before the guard is expected to check in at the security shack. When he does not, the alarm will sound. By then, we'll already be gone and the world will know the truth."
He paused to run a hand dramatically through his thick black hair.
"We have used the reduced staffing schedule of the holiday weekend to successfully infiltrate the highly secret Shrike Foods test farm just outside Walla Walla to uncover the unethical and illegal treatment countless turkeys are forced to endure as a part of the company's so-called poultry improvement project. The horrors of industrial meat processing are well known and extensively documented elsewhere, but the atrocities committed against the animals at this farm have been taken one step further with the aid of nefarious and unregulated science. Next, we will enter Coop 3, where a knowledgeable informant assured us the living results of Shrike Foods' unlawful genetic modification experiments are housed."
He slid an open hand across his throat, and I paused the recording.
"All right,"
Jack said.
"Let's do this."
I felt my attention drawn back to the bound guard. He really was just about our age. I figured the guy had probably done a few stupid things of his own to impress girls. Probably had a mountain of his own student debt to worry about, too. "Well," I said, "shouldn't you, I don't know, maybe turn him over? Like, onto his belly? I mean, he could puke and die or something, right?" Shayna looked to Jack, who sighed and nodded at Abdul, who kicked the unconscious guard onto his stomach, eyeing me with undisguised loathing. A camera operator was a necessity of the moment, perhaps, but although my work would aid their cause, and Jack never tired of playing to the imaginary audience I represented, I was not a true believer, so Abdul didn't bother to hide his feelings about me. Abdul and I started on the wrong foot right away, and things hadn't gotten any better between us. Nervously, during one of the group's pre-raid planning sessions, I innocently asked the guy where he was from, just looking to make conversation.
Afghanistan,
Abdul said flatly. Oh, which part? A big city or someplace in the country? Stupid. Even as the words left my mouth, I was embarrassed. What the hell did I know about Afghanistan? I couldn't find the place on the map if I had 3 days to search. And I sounded like a moron, even to myself. I remember very clearly how Abdul glared at me with unadulterated malice and said,
I am from the part where dreams are strongly discouraged. Why do you think I am here?
I didn't know what dreams Abdul might have, aside from his outspoken desire to destroy those who would commodify another living thing. Even such a seemingly simplistic creature as a turkey. I knew the dude was a vegetarian, but his true motives most likely originated in childhood back in his harsh homeland. Or maybe during his military training. Somebody told me he had earned his citizenship working with the U.S. soldiers as a translator in the Middle East. But honestly, I didn't really care about any of that. And I wasn't overly concerned with whatever ultimate prize our fearless leader Jack wanted out of this dangerous and illegal endeavor either. Except that it seemed to make Shayna happy to offer the douchebag my services as a mission documentarian. Shayna, though, was another story altogether. I was very interested in everything about her. The gorgeous biology major entered my life almost by accident, when we'd been paired to give a presentation together in our history class. I was instantly in love, but Shayna was indifferent to even my most charming attempts at conversation and brushed off multiple invitations to go have coffee or see a movie. Tagging along to a meeting of the animal rights group to which she belonged and spoke about often, founded by this guy named Jack, about whom she also spoke very often, seemed to endear me to her, albeit mildly. And when she asked for my help with the Shrike raid, I tried not to agree too quickly. Later saving face with myself by reasoning that I had, in fact, needed a subject for my next student film anyway. Secretly, I hoped my participation might elevate me somehow in Shayna's mind. But the mood tonight was much more serious than I expected. It was getting more serious all the time, and she had barely glanced at me yet. I tried once again to catch Shayna's eye, but Jack was already heading toward our ultimate target without looking back, and she was as ever hot on his heels. Abdul paused just long enough to jab a finger into my chest.
You are feeling better now, yes?
Yeah, I muttered, turning to follow. I feel fantastic.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The main door of Coop 3 was daunting, a thick metal slab fortified with several intimidating padlocks and one digital keypad, but Abdul apparently entertained even less regard for American security than he did for yours truly. The dour Arab quickly set about dismantling Shrike's fortifications with ease, using nothing more than a pair of slim silver tools taken from the pack tied around his waist. I thought I saw something else in there. A tightly wrapped bundle of what dozens of movies and TV shows told me was dynamite. But I told myself that couldn't be right. Explosives weren't part of the plan. In the time it took me to convince myself that my eyes were wrong and frame the shot, the locks were on the ground, the keypad was dark, and Abdul was swinging open the heavy door.
This country.
He slowly shook his head.
How is it you people controlled so much of the world for so many years?
Stepping forward into the blackness, Jack paused, turned, and found the camera lens. With an obviously practiced grin that perfectly showed off his straight white teeth, he said,
"Balls, my friend. That's how."
I could almost hear my eyes roll. Inside the coop, I could feel the size of the space, smell the dank soft earth beneath our shoes, the ripe and meaty stink of the birds. It was hot and moist like a greenhouse, and I instantly began to sweat. I heard the animals moving somewhere out of sight and panned the camera. But even using night vision, I was unable to pick out more than vague shapes. The rest of the team's flashlights impotently prodded the dark, revealing only the tiniest pieces of the room and not one glimpse of our quarry.
"Keep filming,"
Jack said.
"There's supposed to be a bank of controls off to the left here, and a light switch."
Loud flapping, as if a dozen turkeys suddenly attempted and failed to fly in unison, exploded from somewhere off to my right, and I jumped, nearly dropping the camera. A series of sharp, chirp-like calls sounded, and were seemingly answered by the other birds on the opposite side of the coop.
"Stop scaring the birds!"
Jack paused his search long enough to turn the flashlight accusingly onto me. "I'm scaring them? Where the hell is that light switch?"
"Be quiet,"
Shayna whispered.
"I hear something,"
Jack said.
"That's your boyfriend Ken Burns over there pissing his pants."
"I mean it,"
Shayna insisted.
"There's something big moving around."
She directed her light toward an unseen source of rustling.
"Found it,"
Jack said.
"Let there be light."
With a clunk and hum, long strips of caged tubes running along the ceiling blazed to crimson life, bathing the room in a hellish glow, momentarily blinding us, but not before I caught a fleeting glimpse of the creatures. It was deceptive at first because they were moving, but I quickly realized the young birds slowly surrounding us were very tall, heads rising nearly to my chest, and they were really fat. Great rolls of flesh piled atop two shaky legs that were mostly useless blubber jiggled above their small clawed feet. Worst of all was their feathers. They didn't have any. What good are feathers to men obsessed with meat? An unfortunate extra step in the creature's processing that last removed thanks to scientific refinement. The flesh of the birds was slick with clear viscous perspiration that stank of garlic and rancid butter. They were the bloodless pallor of things that spend their lives wiggling under rocks or squirming across the ocean floor. The complexion of life that exists wholly out of view of the sun.
"Oh my God,"
Shayna gasped.
"What have they done?"
Jack was at my shoulder, reeking of Axe body spray and whispering excitedly,
"Are you getting this?"
I could only nod, mouth agape, panning quickly across the circle of young turkeys. In some small part of my brain, well removed from the moment, I began formulating my Academy Award acceptance speech, imagining what color Shayna's gown might be. The birds, dimly I recalled from the team's research that a baby turkey was called a poult, not a chick, toddled closer in short bursts of eager, mincing steps before collapsing under their own top-heavy weight. Enormous breasts, meaty sacks like some hormonal teenage boy's favorite obscene cartoon, hung from their chests. Their eyes, vacant milky pools covered by thin layers of nearly translucent wrinkled skin, seemed somehow to both regard and simultaneously ignore us. They opened their colorless beaks as if tasting the air. Purplish worm tongues flopped and twitched within. Shayna jabbed her flashlight at the poult closest to her, but the beast did not flinch.
"I think they're blind,"
she said.
"Their eyes. If they're raised in darkness, they don't need eyes."
First one bird, then another, as if in response, opened their albino beaks and let loose a fresh chorus of the strange squawking calls. After each round, the birds all twitched their heads from side to side. With each session of the call and response, the nightmarish flock drew closer, inquisitively tightening their ranks around us. The strange new arrivals in their lightless world.
It's some kind of sonar,
Shayna said.
Like what bats use, I think. Everybody huddled together. We'll look bigger to them.
Abdul screamed. One young turkey somehow snuck around behind him and got close enough to snap its beak closed on his arm. He wrenched free, blood pouring from the wound, and drew from his boot a long hunting knife. Smelling the blood, the other poults began to squawk more excitedly, madly flapping their pudgy, featherless wings and wobbling from foot to foot. It was like their bodies had been inflated from within, I thought, pushed by chemicals and supplements to expand beyond anything nature would require. The noise quickly became unbearable in the echo and cavernous space.
Got it,
I shouted.
Let's go. I have enough.
No,
Jack said.
We need a specimen.
What? That was not the plan,
Shayna said, swinging her flashlight back and forth in an attempt to keep the birds at bay.
Forget the plan.
Jack marched toward the nearing flock.
Nobody will believe the video by itself. They'll say it's some kind of stupid YouTube hoax. We're taking one of these birds with us. They can't ignore that.
The poult that bit Abdul was following him step for step as he retreated toward the open door, pecking at the drops of blood which fell to the dirt. Cradling the injured arm against his chest, Abdul slashed with his knife, but the turkey was not deterred. Two of its siblings followed and quickly encircled Abdul, who was now alone, wounded, and separated from the group. Jack, too, had strayed off on his own into the midst of the featherless birds. He paused for a moment, but upon looking back and finding my camera lens dutifully fixed on him, as he had so often demanded, he quickly masked his doubt and resumed pursuit. His face a perfect imitation of Hollywood hero intensity, Jack reached out and grabbed hold of a bird, which immediately began squawking in a new higher pitch. Abdul shouted something in his own language and lunged, driving his knife into the poult nearest him. The blade sank with gruesome ease deep into the plump meat of its enormous breast and the animal collapsed, flailing its fat wings and emitting a strained, painful wail. The other turkeys took up the call even as they set upon their wounded sibling. Beaks pierced the downed bird, tearing it open so they could scarf the still-living animal's guts. The escaping wave of stink further incited the group, who quickly advanced on Jack, head snaking out with unbelievable speed to remove his flesh in ragged patches. Each bite was tossed down a bird's throat with a swift jerk of their head before craning forward again to rip free another piece. Jack screamed and thrashed amidst a storm of ravenous mouths. All of this I filmed, petrified as a fossil. I couldn't have found the camera's power button if I'd wanted to. Not that I was eager to actually watch what was happening. My eyes strayed desperately beyond the carnage to the far corner of the coop and locked onto the flock's terrible matriarch. Without feathers or feet and completely eyeless, the enormous bird was a hulking mound of layered flesh rolls at least 7 feet tall. Whiter than a wedding cake's frosting, its head topped a long snake-like neck grazing the coop's ceiling. And gaping blisters freckled the monstrous bird, oozing more of the same pungent slime that coated its progeny. Self-basting, I thought, hearing a bust of deranged laughter at the realization, and understanding only afterward it came from my own mouth. Feeling oddly numb, I focused on checking audio levels and redirected the camera so as to capture the creature's approach rather than scream. If I started screaming, I wasn't sure I'd be able to stop. The mother bird pulled itself forward with long mutant appendages that may have once been wings. At their tips, black claws grasped the dirt. The long wrinkled stalk of its neck strained forward, giant beak yawning open impossibly wide. And from the Stygian depths of its gullet erupted a resounding call that seemed to rattle the walls. Instantly, the poults abandoned their half-consumed sibling and retreated from what remained of Jack, scurrying to nuzzle their mother and cheep plaintively. Abdul was at the door shouting for retreat, but Shayna was running to kneel beside Jack.
I'm coming,
she cried.
Hold on.
His gurgling response might have been her name, but it was impossible to say for certain. Shayna grabbed hold of Jack, trying valiantly to drag him to safety, but the enormous mother turkey had closed the distance between them with horrible speed. It towered over Shayna, making inquisitive clucking and warbling sounds, twitching its massive head to and fro, inching closer with each call. I heard myself squeal as a hand fell heavily on my shoulder.
Now,
Abdul said.
We must leave.
He pulled me backward, still filming. I remember thinking that it was all for nothing if I didn't record what was happening. We moved toward the door as Shayna turned, far too late, and lunged, only to be caught around the leg mid-jump by the hen's giant beak. I heard the distant cracking of bones being crushed and Shayna screaming, but my eyes were already closed. Only the camera witnessed her demise. Then I was outside again, back in the cool nighttime air, as Abdul slammed the door. Leaning against it, he gasped for breath, one arm dangling at his side, mutilated.
What about the others?
I said.
We have to do something, right? What happens next?
Abdul reached out with his good hand and tapped my camera.
That depends on you,
he said.
They die for a cause in which they profess belief. If you wish, you can make Jack famous, as he always desired to be. And the girl, she also got what she wanted. She had his attention at the end. Finally.
I clutched my camera the way a drowning man holds tightly to anything that floats. My frazzled mind once again conjured a glitzy showbiz award ceremony. The low-cut dress of my date remained the same, although the part of its wearer needed to be recast. It was not a devastating revelation, and I smiled, turning the camera onto Abdul.
And you? What do you want?
From inside the building came a deafening squawk from the monster fowl. The crying of the poults became more frantic as they pecked the door. From the pack tied around his waist, Abdul removed a small bundle of what definitely was dynamite and grinned.
I wish to mark my first Independence Day in this country with fireworks and roasted turkey.
I thought you were a vegetarian. Isn't that sort of thing against your religion? What's Allah going to say?
I think perhaps even God would make an exception here.
Abdul knocked lightly against the door, inciting a fresh round of cries from the birds inside.
And I never said I was going to eat them.
We managed to drag the guard who had returned to bleary semi-consciousness a safe distance away before the explosion lit up the night. Noise from the blast and the roar of hungry flames very nearly drowned out the anguished warbling of the dying monsters. The eerie sounds brought to us on the breeze as we rushed back across the field. Long and brightly, the conflagration burned. And the air smelled delicious.
And that was Gobble by Luciano Moreno. A good reminder why the turkey on your table looks like Prime Schwarzenegger, and the one in your yard looks like Maria Shriver. Personally, I'd rather eat the maid. Our next tale tonight is going to take you for a ride. So, without further delay, I give you Black Dog Blues. Choosing sides. That's what you're doing when you tell a story like this. By clearly identifying the aberrant, we define and agree upon what is normal. We share unusual experiences and observations, and thus reassure each other. It's practically ritualistic, a way of definitively declaring that is not right, and we are not that, so therefore we are right. You understand? That can be whatever. Ghosts, monsters, the Bermuda Triangle, flying saucers filled with little green men, it doesn't matter. But such stories need to be shared. The point of telling tall tales is to recalibrate reality, and we truckers tell them taller than most. You got your seatbelt on? Good deal. As I was saying, culture is full of tribes, little clubs and cults. Most of them have distinctive codes and traditions, their own myths and legends. I was in the Navy for about 10 years, and I can tell you that sailors are an especially insular lot. I've known plenty of cops, too, a members-only club if there ever was one. I imagine it's the same all over if you dig deep enough. And truckers? Well, maybe we need the psychological anchor in sharing such stories provides more than most, because ours is such an unnatural way to live. There's a reason the species, by and large, gave up the nomadic way of life a long time ago. It wears on you. I should know. Been behind the wheel going on 30 years. Crisscrossed this great big country more times than I can count. I've seen things you would not believe. Trust me. That vent blowing on you too much? I can adjust the heat. This rig has so many buttons, dials, and settings, it's like a submarine or spaceship. Actually, with all the glowing indicators and instruments up here, late at night when it's just me and the slim path cut by the headlights against all that dark, I sometimes feel like I'm driving through outer space. Like I'm out here all alone, hurtling through the void. You okay then? Good deal. That's why I picked you up. I don't usually give rides, but I know how cold it gets out here when the sun goes away. Plus, sometimes a little company, somebody to talk to, especially at night, makes the miles go faster. You've got music if you want, and a CB radio, but those distant crackly voices can sometimes make a man feel more lonely rather than less. Sound kind of like ghosts, I think. People talking to you from someplace else. Which brings me back to what I started to say. Took the long way around the reservation on that one. Sorry about that. But I promised you a story, and I always keep my promises. Ask anybody you like. They don't call me True Blue for nothing. True Blue being my radio handle, you understand. Every trucker worth his wipers has one. Now consider the glow of the dials and panels, the gentle crackle and hiss of the CB. Not so dissimilar from a campfire, right? It's the perfect setting for the aforementioned ritual of recounting the so-called ghost story. Truckers have quite a stable of yarns to select from, but of all the legends traded amongst a tribe of professional drivers, sailors of the asphalt sea, you might say, the Black Dog is unquestionably the most iconic. Think there was even a movie made about it. Starred Meatloaf, Randy Travis, and the guy from that dancing movie. Remember? Nobody puts baby in a corner. Hell, it'll come to me. The dog, more like a wolf really, is an enormous loping, slobbering beast. Teeth big as kitchen knives, hair black as space without stars, eyes that blaze fiery red like emergency flares on the lonely stretch of bad road. They say a driver who's been awake too long sees it just before a crash, the type you don't walk away from. Does the dog cause the crash? Maybe it's trying to warn you. There are many variations. Back when I was coming up, the old-timer said it comes to carry off your soul afterward, like a spirit guide in some Indian vision quest. But I don't believe that. It's no simple omen either. Not the hallucination of a tired mind. The dog is very, very real. Every driver only has so many miles in them. And then when you're coming up to the end, that's when you see it. First, the dog paces you, racing alongside the rig. Driver gets scared and goes faster, trying to lose it. He's heard the stories after all, but thinks maybe he can outrun the thing. Maybe it's not too late. And for a minute or so, seems he's right. It's gone. Vanished into the rushing darkness. That's when you see it again, barreling out of the night ahead. Its roar is squealing brakes and twisting metal. Breath like burnt rubber and oily smoke. Are you still okay? Good deal. If you're fading, help yourself to those red pills in the far cup holder. Careful, though. They're serious stuff. Speaking of which, pass me a few. This is no time to lose your edge. Miles to go and all that, right? Thanks. There's coffee in that blue thermos and a can or two of cola in the fridge behind your seat. I tell you, these new rigs are really something. All these gizmos and creature comforts. You'd never know we're creeping past 80 because the ride's so smooth. But don't worry, I'm a professional. And like a wise man once said, I never drive faster than I can see. Now then, I first obtained the facts regarding the Black Dog from a most reliable source, the man who taught me the ways of the wheel. Sullivan Smith drove for a cross-country outfit for about 200 years before moving on to a local route near the shipyard in Bremerton, where I got out of the Navy. He was my training instructor, and the geezer's handle was Locksmith, because supposedly he'd been something of a Don Juan back in the Pleistocene epoch. Had the key to the heart of every lady he met, or so they say. He told me all about the Black Dog, and I sat there nodding politely, just like you, and thinking pretty much what I expect you're thinking right now. It took a long time before I understood the truth. Locksmith died about 16 years ago, but not in a crash. Gas station robbery. Poor old man walked into an all-nighter for a donut and a cup of coffee, right into a holdup. Got the back of his head blown off by some desperate junkie with a shotgun before he knew anything was up. Actually, not a bad way to go if you think about it. I've seen worse. Yes, I certainly have. It was Locksmith who first told me about the music, though I'd heard others mention it since. Black Dog Blues, he called it. The sound the driver hears just before the dog appears. A sorrowful howling that leaks through on the CB, and sharp staticky barking. Sometimes they say you'll hear an inhuman voice growl your name. That's how you'll know it's time. You've got your belt on, right? Good deal. I heard the Black Dog Blues once, except it wasn't playing for me. There was this woman, a trucker. Name was Lydia, but her handle was Sassy, cause she had one hell of a smart mouth. Never cared who might be listening. Right there on the CB, she'd just say whatever she was thinking. We used to stop at the same spots and run the same routes. There are drivers who work in teams, partners, married couples. It gets awfully lonely out here. And we were talking about maybe giving that kind of arrangement a try. Never got the chance, though. We were both slated to make a run for the same outfit. I'd gotten this new radar detector, so I was driving point and keeping an eye out for Smokies. We were making good time and chatting on the CB, us and a few others in the general area, playing this game where we'd be carrying on a technically PG-rated conversation, using as many sexual innuendos and double entendres as possible. Old Sassy was good at it. Sometimes I'd get to laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. I said we were making good time. In fact, we were speeding along pretty well. That was the whole point of the radar detector. But the thing started acting funny, making crazy chirps and beeps, and I got distracted trying to restart it. I didn't notice Sassy had stopped talking. I didn't notice anything until I saw her rig bearing down on me. Coming up way too fast on the left. Brake failure, I assumed. Something had to be wrong with the rig because Sassy was an outstanding driver. I was cruising just below the century mark, about how fast we were going now, actually, and she flew past me like I was parked. That's when I saw it, just for a second as she passed, running outside the beam of her lights. An enormous black dog moving unbelievably fast. I caught on to CB, but she didn't answer. So I pulled out my phone and called her. She did answer then, and I heard her crying. She was so afraid. Kept screaming, "It's coming for me, True. It's coming for me." And in the background, I heard her CB crackling. This awful howl. A scream of static that hurt my ears. It wasn't coming through on my radio, though. I could only hear it through the phone. It was the Black Dog Blues playing just for her. Something said her name. A voice like out of your worst nightmare. If there is a hell, I think whatever greets you at the gates will sound like that. I saw her rig jackknife and go careening off the road. Thing rolled three times as it went over the embankment. By the time I finally got slowed down and pulled over and ran back to the scene, the fire was so big, there was nothing I could... She was just gone. That was 3 weeks ago. I've racked up a lot of miles since then. Side gigs, overtime. I don't like to stay put too long. Figure I've been up about 4 days straight now. Pardon my reach. I just need to get something out of the glove compartment. Relax. It isn't for you. This is the Smith & Wesson Governor, a snub-nosed revolver capable of firing small-caliber shotgun shells. A very reliable gun. Please don't look at me like that. I already told you, I'm a professional. The gun is for the dog. The story is for you. Like I said, such stories need to be shared. Make sure you've got your belt on now. I'm counting on you to survive this and tell the tale. Please be on my side. You mean you really haven't seen it? On the shoulder of the road, just outside the headlights? Running alongside the rig? Right there! You can't see that? No, too late. It's gone. For now. Never mind. I'm not too worried about it. Let's coax this big boy up to a 120 and see if we can't run the bastard down. Keep your eyes peeled. Somewhere in that blackness up there, it's headed straight for us. And I'm going to kill it. They didn't believe me when I told them what happened to Sassy. Looked at me like I was a raving lunatic. About like how you're looking at me right now, actually. Well, that's okay. I don't care what they think. Or you either, matter of fact. Soon you'll see for yourself. Then you'll know the truth. And you can tell everybody. You can tell the story. Hear that? It's as if the sound was being stretched and pulled like taffy. And that terrible crackling growl under the static. That howling. Lonesome as a lifetime spent on the road. Oh yes. They're playing my song tonight. And that was Black Dog Blues by Luciano Moreno, a good reminder that stories do need to be shared, preferably while not doing 120 in a semi. A little about the author. Luciano Moreno is an award-winning writer and photographer, author of the werewolf novella trilogy The Ambush Moon Cycle, and numerous works of short fiction, which have appeared in anthologies such as Year's Best Hardcore Horror and The Best New Weird Horror, among others, as well as Night Script, Pseudopod, Chthonic Matter Quarterly, and Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, giggity. His written and photographic reporting has earned a number of industry accolades, and he was twice named a feature writer of the year by the Washington Newspaper Publishers Association. A U.S. Navy veteran originally from rural western Pennsylvania, he now resides near Seattle. Hey, I know by the comments on this channel that you people love werewolves. And Luciano's Ambush Moon Cycle series is kicking some ass on Amazon. All three books for only $2.97, friends. You can't beat that with a stick. Check the link in the show notes or search Ambush Moon Cycle on Amazon. Thanks, Luciano. And do me a favor, would you? Subscribe to this podcast wherever you do your listening and leave me a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. I need soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and I appreciate it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all our other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click the patrons link in the menu at the top of the screen. You'll find yourself at chillintellsdarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to our entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chillin' Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all our latest updates and new releases, and have the chance to interact with us each and every week. You'll find me personally on Facebook. And we're accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on this show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment. 10 bananas. Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend, and just hoof it tonight, won't you? Hitchhiking is unpredictable. A very big hello and thank you to all my new patrons and all my current patrons. And if you want to sign up to be a patron, go to www.patreon.com/Drew Blood and become a patron, y'all. Rest assured, it's going to a good cause. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Careful about that aid stuff, y'all. And, of course, go fuck yourselves. Good night, friends.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.